ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಾಂಜನ ಯಮುನ ತೀರಾವನ ಚರಿ ಯಮುನ ತೀರಾವನ ಚರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪೀ ಜನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಗೋಪೀ ಜನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದ ನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದ ನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನ ತೀರಾವನ ಚರಿ ಯಮುನ ತೀರಾವನ ಚರಿ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧ ಮಾಧವ ಕಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀ ಹರಿ ಕಿ ತಾಯಿ ಗೋ ಪ್ರೇಮನಂದಿ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಟುಡೇ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟಿಂಗ್ from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 24, chapter entitled Chanting the Sangha, sung by Lord Shiva. And today it's text number 18. This is a verse spoken by Vidura in his inquiries to Maitreya Rishi. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತಿ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತಿ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತಿ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಆತ್ಮರಾಮೋಪಿ ಯಸ್ತ್ವಸ್ಯ ಲೋಕಕಲ್ಪಸ್ಯ ರಾಧಸೇ ಶಕ್ತ್ಯಾಯುಕ್ತೋ ವಿಚಾರತಿ ಗುರಾಯ ಭಗವಾನ್ ಭವ ಆತ್ಮರಾಮೋಪಿ ಯಸ್ತ್ವಸ್ಯ ಲೋಕಕಲ್ಪಸ್ಯ ರಾಧಸೇ ಶಕ್ತ್ಯಾಯುಕ್ತೋ ವಿಚಾರತಿ ಘೋರಾಯ ಭಗವಾನ್ ಭವ. Vaishnavis, Matajis, word by word translation. Atmarama, self-satisfied. Api, although he is. Ya, one who is. Tu, but. Asya, this. Loka, material world. Kalpasya, when manifested. Radhase, for the matter of helping its existence. Shaktya, potencies. Yukta, being engaged. Vicharati, he acts. Ghuraya, very dangerous. Bhagavan, his lordship. Bhava Shiva. Translation. Lord Shiva, the most powerful demigod, second only to Lord Vishnu, is self-sufficient. Although he has nothing to aspire for in the material world, for the benefit of those in the material world, he is always busy and engaged everywhere and is accompanied by his dangerous energies, like Goddess Kali and Goddess Durga. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It's a quite solid purport. Srila Prabhupada really gives a quite detailed explanation of the personality of Lord Shiva. So if you ever have to speak on Lord Shiva, this is a good reference. Purport. Lord Shiva is known as the greatest devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is known as the best of all types of Vaishnavas. Vaishnavanam yatha shambhu. Consequently, Lord Shiva as a Vaishnava Sampradaya, the disciple succession known as the Rudra Sampradaya, just as there is a Brahma Sampradaya coming directly from Lord Brahma, the Rudra Sampradaya comes directly from Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is one of the 12 great personalities, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. Swayambhur Naradhashambhu Kumara Kapilo Manu Praladho Janako Bhishmo Bhalir Vaya Sakirvayam. These are 12 great authorities in preaching God consciousness. The name Shambhu means Lord Shiva. His disciplic succession is also known as the Vishnu Swami Sampradaya. And the current Vishnu Swami Sampradaya is also known as the Vallabha Sampradaya. The current Brahma Sampradaya is known as the Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. Even though Lord Shiva appeared to preach Mayavadi philosophy, at the end of his pastime in the form of Shankaracharya, he preached the Vaishnava philosophy. Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam Mudhamate. He stressed worshipping Lord Krishna or Govinda 3 times in this verse, and especially warned his followers that they could not possibly achieve deliverance or mukti simply by word jugglery and grammatical puzzles. If one is actually serious to attain mukti, he must worship Lord Krishna. That is Sripad Shankaracharya's last instruction. Here it is mentioned that Lord Shiva is always accompanied by his material energy, Shaktya Gurhaya. Material energy, Goddess Durga or Goddess Kali, is always under his control. Goddess Kali and Durga serve him by killing all the asuras or demons. Sometimes Kali becomes so infuriated that she indiscriminately kills all kinds of asuras. There is a popular picture of Goddess Kali in which she wears a garland composed of the heads of the asuras and holds in her left hand a captured head and in her right hand a great khadga or chopper for killing asuras. Great wars are symbolic representations of Kali's devastation of the asuras and are actually conducted by the goddess Kali. Brahma Samhita says, Srishti Stiti Pralaya Sadhana Shaktir Eka. Asuras try to pacify the goddess Kali or Durga by worshipping her in material opulence. But when the asuras become too intolerable, Goddess Kali does not discriminate in killing them wholesale. Asuras do not know the secret of the energy of Lord Shiva, and they prefer to worship Goddess Kali or Durga or Lord Shiva for material benefit. Due to their demoniac character, they are reluctant to surrender to Lord Krishna, as indicated by Bhagavad Gita. Namam duskritino mudha prabhadhyante naradama mayaya parita jnana asuram bhavamashrita. Lord Shiva's duty is very dangerous because he has to employ the energy of Goddess Kali or Durga. In another popular picture, the goddess Kali is sometimes seen standing on the prostrate body of Lord Shiva, which indicates that sometimes Lord Shiva has to fall down flat in order to stop goddess Kali from killing the asuras. Since Lord Shiva controls the great material energy, goddess Durga, worshippers of Lord Shiva attain very opulent positions within this material world. Under Lord Shiva's direction, a worshipper of Lord Shiva gets all kinds of material facilities. In contrast, a Vaishnava or worshipper of Lord Vishnu gradually becomes poorer in material possessions, because Lord Vishnu does not trick his devotees in becoming materially entangled by possessions. Lord Vishnu gives his devotees intelligence from within. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogantam yinamamu payantite. Quote, to those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Unquote. Thus, Lord Vishnu gives intelligence to his devotee so that the devotee can make progress on the path back home, back to Godhead. Since a devotee has nothing to do with any kind of material possession, he does not come under the control of Goddess Kali or the Goddess Durga. Lord Shiva is also in charge of the tamoguna, or the mode of ignorance in this material world. His potency, the goddess Durga, is described as keeping all living entities in the darkness of ignorance. Ya devi sarvabhuteshu nidra rupam samstita. Both Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are incarnations of Lord Vishnu, but Lord Brahma is in charge of the creation, whereas Lord Shiva is in charge of the destruction. which he carries out with the help of his material energy, goddess Kali or goddess Durga. Thus, in this verse, Lord Shiva is described as being accompanied by dangerous potencies, Shakta Ghuraya. And that is the actual position of Lord Shiva. Om Ajnati Mirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshur Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Virma Om Vishabhadaya Krishna Sevadesha Vatak Swami Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Vistaya Bhutale Shimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tiname Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prasharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Vanchakalpadrubhisha Kripa Sindhu Vashapatitanam Pavani Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namunama. Translation again, if you like, you can repeat. Lord Shiva, the most powerful demigod, second only to Lord Vishnu, is self-sufficient. Although he has nothing to aspire for in the material world, for the benefit of those in the material world, is always busily engaged everywhere and is accompanied by his dangerous energies like goddess Kali and goddess Durga. A few days ago, we were in this place, Panchgani. You know Panchgani on the Satara district? And we were having a course for the devotees of different temples. And near to Panchgani, there is a famous Lord Shiva pilgrimage place. It's called Mahabaleshwar. Probably you have heard if you are from Maharashtra. I see a few smiles of understanding. So, to have some variety, one afternoon, not to have some variety, to also obviously offer our respect to Lord Shiva, and also to have some different engagement during the course, one evening, one afternoon we went with all the devotees. And in fact, the devotees were very enthusiastic to go. And this Mahabaleshwar is a self-manifested lingam. They say that it's manifested 5,000 years ago. It doesn't really look like a lingam because it is more flat. But it's a Rudraksha Rupa. It looks like a Rudraksha. It looks like a the top of a Rudraksha. Mahabaleshwar, Mahabala, very powerful, like just here. Says very, very powerful. And so we can see how in our sampradaya we have a very, I would say, cordial relation with Lord Shiva. We have a very respectful. And the devotees, they like Lord Shiva. They love Lord Shiva. Especially many devotees actually. I mean, in ISKCON India, many devotees had already developed a relation with Lord Shiva before joining. Am I right? So when they didn't have to give up their love for Lord Shiva, they didn't have to give up their affinity. They just had to adjust their theological understanding and not see him as a separate god, as a competitor Bhagavan, but see him as practically a form of the Lord and simultaneously as the greatest devotee of the Lord. So devotees in ISKCON, when they have a chance to relate to Lord Shiva, they generally do it with great enthusiasm. They have no problem. He is our guru. He is a source of inspiration. And so, and this is in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, we have this nice relation. In the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, in Ramanuja Sampradaya, they don't have probably mostly for historical reasons, they don't have this close relation. In fact, as far as I understand, there is almost a standing prohibition for Sri Vaishnavas to even enter a Shiva temple. Anybody here from Iyengar families? No. But anyway, this is what the devotees were telling me. That their norm is that you cannot even enter in a Shiva temple. Because probably, because there was a lot of fighting, even physical fighting between the Shaivas and the Vaishnavas in South India and Tamil Nadu. You know the story of Ramanujacharya, how he had to escape Srirangam due to the persecution of the Shaivayat king. The Madhvacharyas, in one sense, they have the Madhvacharya line. It seems they have a very close relation with Shiva, even in one sense more than us, in the sense that many of their temples, they have actually the Shiva lingam there they worship. I know, like for instance, the temple in the area where my wife was living, she's from that Madhva background, they have, of course, Vishnu, Srinivas Govinda, Balaji, the main deities. Then they have Lakshmi Devi. Then they have Hanuman, because we consider Madhva Acharya as an avatar of Hanuman. And then there are two side altars, one for Ganesh and one for Shiva. So Madhvas, they are very like interrelated with Shiva, Ganesh, and they don't have any problem really. In fact, in Madhva programs, they sing, when they sing bhajans, they also sing Shiva bhajans. But of course, they understand him as a devotee of Vishnu, but they have, in one sense, even a more of a working relation with him. But in our sampradaya, Lord Shiva is very much present in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was traveling in South India, he gave the example, he was traveling. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita describes how Lord Shiva went to so many Shiva temples. He would enter, he would offer his respects. No problem. How many of you are from South India? Achha. So, Chaitanya Charitamrita describes how Lord Chaitanya went to many, many Shiva holy places like Trikalahasti or Vridachalam, Brihadishwar and Tanjore, Chidambaran, famous temple, and so on. And Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita also reveals a very, very mysterious episode. Lord Chaitanya, when he was traveling through South India, he went to a place called Sri Sailam. And in that place, Lord Shiva and Durga, they were living in that village, dressed as brahmanas, in the form of brahmanas. And when Lord Chaitanya arrived, they hosted Lord Chaitanya, they offered alms, which I believe means giving prasadam also. So they cooked for Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Shiva told, asked Lord Chaitanya, we should go for 3 days in a very remote place and we should talk. So then, for 3 days, Lord Shiva and Lord Chaitanya went to a very secluded place and exchanged very confidential information. And you know what they were talking about? You don't know? I also don't know. Because it's very confidential. So, it's a very mysterious, in fact, it's so mysterious that we don't really know even what Sri Shaila is. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained in the purport that it's not really clear which Sri Shaila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is talking about. Because he said there are different Sri Shailam, but chronologically it's not clear. These pastimes, you can see it also in our diorama in Mayapur. In Mayapur we have the diorama of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. One of the last panels, you can see Lord Chaitanya sitting with Lord Shiva. And of course, Lord Shiva is very much present in the Bhagavatam, especially in this fourth canto, but in many other cantos. For instance, it's Lord Shiva who speaks that famous instruction that says that was that Swarga Pavarga Narakeshu? Was that what's the Sanskrit? Narayana parasarve nakutaschana bhibhyati swarga apavarga narakesh api tulyartha darshanam. He was talking with Durga Devi. That's also in one sense at least illustration of this. Lord Shiva was sitting with Durga Devi, his wife, and he was giving a class, the Bhagavatam class, with many, many sages, sannyasis. And he was sitting, and Durga Devi was actually sitting on the lap of Lord Shiva, which is a bit unusual. Generally, we don't do that in ISKCON. I mean, my wife is not here. But even if she was here, probably she won't be sitting on my laps right now. So when Chitra Ketu was flying around, he, in a good mood, in a brotherly mood, he started to say, "What is this? Lord Shiva talking to these sages with the wife sitting on the lap?" And Lord Shiva just smiled, you know. He didn't feel insulted, because that was not the mood. But Mother Parvati took it very seriously. She didn't smile. She felt very offended. She felt that he is offending my husband. He's ridiculing him. And so she gave him a very heavy curse. In fact, consequently to that curse, Chitraketu got transformed into the Vritrasura. And that one, that is when, and okay, after that curse, Chitraketu came down in a very humble mood. He didn't try to get into a fight. He just, I don't remember the words, but basically he was very humble to Durga Devi. I think, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, he asked Saitanti, "Okay, whatever you're saying, I accept your curse, but let me not forget the Lord." Something like that. And so Lord Shiva spoke this verse that, you see, the Vaishnavas, of the Vaishnava, the devotees of Narayana, apituliyarta, they're always like balanced, they're always in equilibrium, they're always peaceful. Swarga Appavarga Narakeshu. Either they go to Swarga Loka, heavenly planets, or they even achieve Appavarga, liberation, or even end up in hell. They are not really, what do you call, affected much. No, they are not affected at all. Sorry, I should not have said much. They are not affected. Because their basic bhakti, their basic devotional service, is always the same. There is that Bengali saying, some devotee can help me because I don't remember the Bengali, that the that machine, what's called that machine that does the grains, either in on earth or on heaven, will always thresh the rice. Which are? Okay, so what's the Bengali of that? Eki, deki. Deki. So this deki is a machine used in agricultural fields. So the saying say that deki, either you put them in earth or on swarga, they always do the same thing because that's what they do. So the body, wherever you put him, it always do the same things. They chant Hare Krishna, they serve Krishna, they remember Krishna, and if possible, they preach Krishna consciousness. So Lord Shiva was glorifying Maharaj Chitraketu. And Srila Prabhupada explained the proof that Lord Chitraketu was not at fault is that all the sages did not feel bad. See, if it was an insult, the sages would have protested. But the sages were peripheral. They also smiled. They just felt, these are two great personalities. They are joking a little bit. It's not like it's nothing improper. But Durga Devi, here we say Ghuraya, Shaktaya Ghuraya. So they are dangerous. They are dangerous in the sense, they are very great personality, Kali, Durga. I mean, she is a great personality, but for us, it's very dangerous to deal with her. We need to be very careful. Therefore, Lord Srila Prabhupada says how since a devotee has nothing to do with any kind of material possession, it does not come under the control of Goddess Kali or the Goddess Durga. It's a different jurisdiction. If a devotee is fixed on the path, fixed on at the lotus feet of his gurus and the parampara, then it will not come under the control. And it will remain untouched. And it's very interesting here how Srila Prabhupada say these great wars in the world, and there are always wars in the world going on. We may not know or we may know, but there are always conflicts in the world, armed conflicts, and there are symbolic representations of Kali's devastation of the Asuras and are actually conducted by Goddess Kali. So this Iraq war, for instance, is going on since, 8 years? In the newspaper you read about the different protagonists, this general or the other general or this president or the other president. But actually, philosophically, they are, symbolic representation of this devastation. The whole country, Iraq, got devastated. Of course, there may be instrumental, political, and economic reasons, but ultimately, of course, there are some karmic substratum and manifest like that. I also wanted to say a few words about Akshaya Tritiya, which is in our calendar. Now, I mean, not it is in every calendar, but it's also mentioned in our calendar. And I took some notes. Seems that in Hindi is called Akhatij. It's called Akhatij, Akshaya Tritiya. No. Today is Akshaya Tritiya. So what's called in Hindi? Tij, just Tij. Tij. Tijo. Sorry. I got this in Wikipedia. I don't know. They don't know Hindi very well. So, frankly speaking, doesn't seem to have a great importance in Srila Prabhupada's vision of things. In fact, I went through the folio, the Bhaktivedanta Veda base. Srila Prabhupada never mentioned Akshaya Tritiya, or at least not it's not recorded. Okay? But there is mention of Akshaya Tritiya in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam as a good day to perform Shraddha, which seems to bring the importance and the relevance to the more like a ritualistic ceremony. At the same time, it's a very important day also because we start Chandanyatra. 4:30 is the darshan. 4:30 today is the darshan with sandalwood paste, so don't miss it if you can. And it seems that it seems, according to the tradition, that Vyasadeva started dictating Mahabharata to Ganesh on this day, Akshaya Tritiya. And it also seems, in some place they say the Treta Yuga started today. Some other place say Satya Yuga started today. But anyway, we are in Kali Yuga, so it doesn't make much difference. But whatever. So it's a very... And some, this is very interesting. According to tradition, it seems that today is the appearance day of Lord Parashuram. Yes? At least, according to tradition, today is the appearance day of Parashuram, a powerful avatar of the Lord. Something more? Ah, today is also the day in which Ganga Devi appeared on the earth. And of course, Akshaya. Akshaya means something that never diminishes. Huh? So there is this concept that whatever is done today, it gives an everlasting benefit. The knowledge you get, or the charity you give, as a very, very, seems as more benefit. And in fact, based on this, today traditionally people buy gold, buy properties, you know, I mean, right? It's a big, big day for gold business. And of course, just like in every like fruitive activity sort of thing, of course if you do it for devotional service, it's fine, it's transcendental. But just like everything in fruitive activities is a little bit, it's not sure. In fact, I read that in some communities, today they celebrate a lot of marriages. Right? But in some communities, today marriages are forbidden. So, go figure. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like in some communities, today is forbidden to take Upanayam, like the Brahma guy, the initiation. So, anyway. So, Hare Krishna. We have some time for some questions or comment. If you like to ask any question, now is the time. Yes. Do we have a mic?
Hari Bol, Hare Krishna Prabhuji. You have more knowledge. If God is Kali is a Vaishnavi, so what for people kills animals to offer to Kali?
Because they are in ignorance, and they, even that they don't do it properly. You see, we have to distinguish that many people say, oh, we are devotees of Kali, or we are devotees of Durga. Huh? But doesn't mean that they follow the principles for worshipping Kali and Durga. Like we live in Mayapur, which is, you could say, in West Bengal. And Durga Puja is a big thing there in October. And there are many people who even stop your car and they ask you, with a receipt book, they ask you money, okay? And it's a big thing. Sometimes you travel from Mayapur to Calcutta, there are many pandals and so on. But often in these pandals, what they blare? Hindi movie songs. Now you have this experience, you know? Instead of devotional songs, there are so many Durga, Stotram, no? But they offer them Bollywood movie songs. You follow? So this whole offering, so Bollywood songs or meat, they may say, I offer to Kali, but it's not properly offered. See, there are strict regulations, no? Even how to kill an animal. So they don't follow this, so they're not even doing it properly. It's just like an excuse. In Calcutta, I heard there are some butcher shops and they write, this meat is Kali Prasad. Want to comment?
Hare Krishna. No, so just some question came in my mind. So, according to a scriptural evidence that we know, that Lord Shiva is a pure devotee of Lord Vishnu. And he's constantly chanting, meditating on Rama. So how is possible that as a Vishnu devotee, they don't take Shiva's prasadam?
Oh, we don't take Shiva prasadam.
Mostly Vaishnava, the follower of Lord Vishnu or Krishna, they avoid Lord Shiva's prasadam.
Probably because it's not offered in the proper consciousness. It's if offered as a separate god.
So that means, if that means another sense, you mean to say they are not offering properly, but if someone offer properly, so Vaishnava can take?
Well, if somebody offers properly would mean, in my understanding, in the general mean that you offer Shiva Vishnu Prasad. It's like in Jagannath Puri. All the prasadam of Lord Jagannath, after being offered, as you know, because I see many people already nodding, as you know, all the prasad gets offered to Bhimala Devi. Even Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur called his son Bhimala Prasad, who later became the great Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So that's the system. So as far as I know, I'm not sure 100%, but the famous Kali temple in Calcutta, they actually offer first to Radha Krishna. So that's what I kind of understand. They have a Radha Krishna temple inside the major Kali temple.
In Kalighat.
In Kalighat, in Calcutta. So that's because they are devotees, they want to get prasada. Of course, they will also offer, but so the devotees, they feel that, oh, this is offered. But exactly, I don't know if all the devotees follow that, because we generally don't get in touch much with Shiva prasad anyway. I mean, it's not something that happens every day. It's not that in the morning they ask, do you want Krishna prasad or Shiva prasad? Which one you want? But, in the rare cases, so some Vaishnavas say it's not offered properly and they don't. Because ultimately, all the demigods are servants of Lord Vishnu, are devotees. Then we should take all the demigods prasad, right?
Yes. Because so that was my question, because I noticed according to Gauriya Vaishnavas, they avoid any demigod prasad. So devatas, and then that include even Lord Shiva. So that was my question.
Yeah. But we accept the Maha. If it's offered to Vishnu and then it's offered to them, we take.
But we
just like Jagannath Prasad, it's all Mahamaha of Bhimla Devi.
Yeah, but
right? Am I correct, Prabhu? You are from Utkal.
Generally, I understand. My understanding, I may be wrong.
Okay.
Because Lord Shiva, when he's taking prasadam, obviously he's a devotee of Lord Krishna. He must offer himself. He don't take the prasadam as a Vaishnava directly. So what is the wrong to take Shiva prasadam?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know in the sense. I don't know if really we are so strict that we don't take Shiva prasad in that sense. But as a general principle, we don't take demigod prasad. So if you really see Shiva as a great guru, which he is, then maybe you can honor his prasad in some form. Anyway, it's not a really big issue. It's not one of the big ISKCON issues.
It is just technically.
We should see discussed. No, but thank you for bringing it up. Prasadam is always interesting, especially around 9 o'clock. It gets us in the mood. Thank you. Any other questions? Yes, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. It is said that Lord Shiva controls his dangerous energies, Durga and Kali, isn't it? And it's also said that Durga and Kali are indiscriminately killing asuras. But how can they indiscriminately kill asuras if Shiva controls them? Shiva must have given orders, isn't it?
Yes, but you know, you're a grihastha, no? You're a grihastha.
Yeah.
So, you understand that. So, in other words, you understand the wife acts under the direction and instruction of the husband, but it's not that everything she does is exactly as the husband wants, or it's exactly pleasing to the husband. Plus, indiscriminately, I think it's more of a literary expression, in the sense she really gets furious. And obviously, nothing happens by chance. Those who get killed, first of all, is a form of blessing, because that confirmed. First of all, is a form of blessing, because being killed by Durga, it's a very special type of death. Okay, she's the small sister of Krishna. At the same time, that must be their karma that they are there when she is in that mood, huh? But again, sometimes she gets a little bit too fired up. And Lord Shiva has to say, take it easy. And this happened, it happened in this fourth canto also. It happened to Dhruva Maharaj when he went up to this Tibet, and he starts slashing all these yakshas. You remember the story? He started killing. At the beginning was okay, but then he really started killing them, so much that Manu appeared. I believe Svayambhuva Manu appeared, and he said, "That's kind of too much, you know? You're just overkilling it. You're doing a bit too much. Better you stop." So this thing happened. But obviously the yaksha that got killed by Dhruva Maharaj, that's a good death. And also, they must have their karma also involved. Okay? So nothing happens by chance.
Hare Krishna.
Okay? Yes, 1, 2.
Hare Krishna. You mentioned that either in Sharga or Aparga or Narak Loka, the devotees, whatever be the condition, they are not affected. So does this mean that if a devotee, he has some kind of body pain or something, then it's not affecting him? For example, like if somebody is a pure devotee and if he gets some kind of disease in his body, so does this mean that he should not go to the doctor because he is not at all affected? I mean, can you please elaborate it? I'm not getting.
Okay. When he's not affected, doesn't mean that the devotee, say, if a devotee ends up in hell, doesn't mean that for him is the same. He discriminates, and definitely the experience on the physical level is different. Okay? At the same time, his consciousness is not affected. In other words, he's being fixed in his devotional service, in the service to his guru, or his service to Krishna is not affected. So, in circumstances where there is a physical ailment, the devotee go to a doctor and try to fix it. That's a normal behavior. Normal and recommended behavior. You have to take care of the body. It's an instrument, and you have to keep it healthy. Okay? So affected, not, please, don't have a impersonal conception. What does it mean, not affected? When Srila Prabhupada was, I think it was his first winter in New York, it was March 66, and there is a class in which he was speaking to this, at least they were not yet devotees. He did not have any disciple. They only had these people who were interested in yoga, like that, really kind of casual audience. And he was saying, I'm paraphrasing, but what this was saying says, I'm always thinking of my Vrindavan,
and I'm not happy here. He was saying, I'm not happy here. So what does it mean? It was not affected. His consciousness, his Krishna consciousness, his devotional self was not affected. But he didn't like New York. He didn't like to be in New York. From Vrindavan. He was saying, I always think of my Vrindavan, but I'm duty bound to be here because my guru told me to be here and to preach. But he was not liking to be in New York. Especially at that time, and especially in the winter. Okay? So that means affect. It's not that you don't see the difference between being in a nice sattvic place and being in a tamasic place. You see the difference. But if you're doing it for the Lord, then no, you're not affected in the sense you're not going to lament. You're not going to become depressed. And so on. You're actually happy that you're doing something substantial. Just like we have this temple, the temple of Sri Sri Radha London Ishwara, in the middle of London. It's called Soho Street. Srila Prabhupada saw the temple before they bought it, and he approved it. And it's a very crazy place to live, because there is a lot of drunkards all night. Just under the temple has three, four stories. Under the temple, all night there is a pub, a bar, that they play loud rock music. So when you are there all night, boom, 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 like that, all night, every night. So devotees live there, it's hard. It's like a pressure cooker. But at the same time, it's a great opportunity for preaching. In fact, there you might have heard about Oxford Street, which is one of the main commercial streets in London. And that's just 20 meters from the temple. The devotees do 2-3 Harinams every day. They go in the morning, they go in the afternoon, sometimes they also go in the evening. And they meet thousands and thousands of people every day. And some of those thousands come to the temple. They have a lunch program. You go for the lunch program at the temple, there are people from all over the world who just saw the devotees. So that's quite close culturally to Narak. But Srila Prabhupada wanted the temple there, and I read the letter. Srila Prabhupada they were talking about buying a temple in Calcutta, and Srila Prabhupada said, my guru said that we should get the temple in the most congested part of the city. Congested generally is a negative word. Congested, no? But it's in the most congested part of the city. When there are many people, many activity. So we got there, not because of our peace or to have our japa walk near a nice river with the birds and the swans. There's no swans in congested part of the city. But, you know, that's the spirit that as a service. The devotees go and do their duty, and they're not affected. Actually, become affect other people. So, the devotee, even if he goes to Narak, what will do? He will preach. So, it happens. I remember in Mumbai there is the famous story of when Sridhar Maharaj, Yajna Purush Prabhu, the famous story when for some reason they took them to jail. Now there's a famous story. And then what they did, they preached, they chanted Hare Krishna, they preached to the guards, they preached to everybody. So they're not affected. And they start to lament. Okay, we're in jail for a few days and we preach, we chant Hare Krishna, we preach. Okay? So we can close here. Thank you very much for your attention and happy Chandan Yatra. Grantara Shima Bhagatam Ke Shila Prabhupada Ke Nitai Ghur Pramanande.